In the name of God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. We have new neighbors on Allard Avenue and the street hereaways. A delightful young couple with an even more delightful, about 2.5 to 3-year-old child, I would say, a son named John. Our backyards overlook each other. They're actually on the other block behind us. So from our rear porch, we have an entry into the world which we once lived in, and is the world of young children. Being younger parents and a young child, it does bring back a lot of memories, I have to say. It just does. So John is exploring his world, and at the same time himself. He is trying things out. His mind, his body, his inclinations, his impulses. You know that 2 to 3-year-old period? Had a 2 to 3-year-old period, Haim Ganat, the famous child psychologist, was asked once about spanking children. And he said, "You have a 3-year-old?" And the mom said, "Yes." And he said, "Well, if it's between spanking and throttling the child, I suggest you spank." So John is out and about. He's exploring what he can do that is good and acceptable, what he can do that is not so good and so acceptable. Right now, he merely responds, I think, to impulses. He knows not where they come from, I'm sure, but as he becomes an adult, he will know that both those impulses that come from within, from his own God-created being, and the impulses to do good will kind of merge as one. John is a little example of what Paul is trying to work out in the epistle this morning. You see, I do not what I want to do, even though I know what I should be doing, and even despite God being within me, I sometimes don't make the right decisions, you see. So there's your example. If you want to hear more about the epistle, join me on my porch in the afternoon as much, John. And we'll have a great, great, great experience. Here are some of the things I've heard. John, let's pick up our toys. And John usually complies with that. John, it's time to pick up your toys. No. Suggestion repeated. No. Then parental intervention is engaged in the process of toy picking up. John enjoys the yard and the flowers. Ah, the beautiful flowers that grow in the yard, right on the level which John happens to occupy right now. Delightful to look at and smell. Also delightful to pull out of the ground. John, both parents have the patience of Job, at least so far. John, please don't pull the flowers out of the ground. We've had about a 90% compliance rate with that so far. But one afternoon, I happen to be listening, John, please don't pull up the flowers out of the ground. And I heard the no for a moment, and then John, time for a nap. But one day John pulled a flower from the ground, and I waited in anticipation for the expected admonition, and got distracted from something and realized I hadn't heard a word, and when I glanced over the fence, John was giving the flower to his mother. Aha, we figured out a strategy. Good move, John. Good move, John. What do you suppose he was thinking? One flower for mom is nice, maybe another one is better. Time for a nap, John. Paul, the great writer of letters and first theologian for early Christianity, Paul, who we believe on the record never had any children, none are reported anywhere, not even a marital relationship. The history is Paul would have found much inspiration from watching John grow up. Indeed, Paul might have taken inspiration from children. It is Paul in 1 Corinthians 13, "Now, though we see now as children, then when we are adult, we will put away childish things." So there is that theme running through his thoughts. Paul, for all of his lofty language, knew what it was like to be deeply human. "I know what I should do, but I don't do it. I do what I don't want to do, and yet I know the difference. It's easier to do the wrong thing and harder, much harder, to do the right thing." And yet, Paul realizes, God is within me, constantly reminding me of my failings and shortcomings. Who else but God is faithful enough to save me from myself? Jesus, who we also believe, did not have any children, despite fantastical flights of imagination that he might have been married to Mary Magdalene and all kinds of other scurrilous kinds of thoughts. There's nothing in the record that supports that. So Jesus, who we also believe did not have children, often rebuked those who refused to let children come to him. He saved some of his most pointed anger for those who turned children away from him. Wise and intelligent adults often could not hear and see and know God the very way that children who are open and vulnerable did. You, God, have hidden these things, these truths from the wise and intelligent, and revealed them even to infants, for that is your gracious will. The ability of children both to see God, to love God, to do things that are wrong, but then to be correct, to do things that are right, and to be joyous about the whole escapade of life. Jesus saw that wonderful characteristic in children. Madeleine Lengel wrote this in Walking on Water. "Vulnerability is something we instinctively reject because we are taught, beginning about kindergarten on, that we must protect ourselves, control our behavior and our lives. But in becoming human for us, Christ made himself totally vulnerable to us in Jesus of Nazareth. And it is not possible to be a Christian while refusing to be vulnerable before God." Paul finally concluded that only through accepting his vulnerability, only accepting his humanness and putting his trust and love in God, only on total reliance in Jesus Christ, could he be saved. It took him a while, but what he came to believe, we find in Matthew chapter 11 this morning, which is where God has led us. "Come to me, all you that are weary of the human